Hi, James Lewis here, and this is the Renew Democracy Initiative audio newsletter. This Week in Democracy. Recently released data from the Census Bureau is driving headlines that the white population in America declined by 8.6% from 2010 to 2020. But is that actually true? After that, redistricting is beginning, and debates about gerrymandering are already heating up. But is that practice really responsible for all the inequities in our political representation? Or could another feature of our district drawing system be to blame? Here's why you should care. The census data is out, and things are looking bearish for white folks. The white population is down by 8.6%, while the non-white population is going up. This news has given political pundits a lot to chew on. Charles Blow of the New York Times wrote that it was a terrifying census for white nationalists. The Hill argued that the fallen white population could add fuel to nativist fire. Tucker Carlson said that those looking at the headlines favorably were cheering the extinction of white people. But when you dig into the census data, the story starts to look a little different. Back in 2010, the Hispanic or Latino population of the United States accounted for 50 million Americans. In 2020, it had grown to 62 million. But while in 2010, 26 million Hispanic or Latino Americans listed their race as white, that number had decreased 53% by 2020, down to just 12 million people. Over the same period, the Hispanic two or more races category skyrocketed from just 3 million to 20 million, a jump of 567%. So what sounds more reasonable to you? A majority of white Latinos left the country or died between 2010 and 2020? Or a significant percentage of people who checked one box a decade ago decided to check a different box last year? We can't track everyone down and ask, but we have a strong suspicion that it's the latter. The real story of the census, then, is that the white population isn't declining because of their deaths outnumbering births, but because of the abstract idea of racial identity. The driving force behind these changes appears to be rather simple. An article on the Census Bureau website explains that changes in the survey questions led the census to provide a more accurate picture of how people self-identify. Demographic and identity shifts played a role in the reported changes, but they were really driven by changes in question design. Now, to be fair, the non-Hispanic white population also decreased, but that decline was a modest 5 million people, or just 2.6%, dwarfed in size by the decrease in the Hispanic white population. Moreover, the non-Hispanic, some other race alone category, and the two or more race category increased by a combined total of more than 8 million Americans. While it's more difficult to suggest that people responsible for that increase listed themselves as white on the 2010 census, the Latino example should show that racial categories are much more malleable than you might expect. It's easy to ask what these changes might mean for politics, but it's really hard to answer that question. America is certainly becoming more diverse, but pundits have a poor track record in predicting how that will translate into political outcomes in the long term. Analysts assured us that the growing Hispanic population would bring victories to Democrats. Then, they were caught off guard when Hispanic voters swung away from the Democrats in 2020. In 2004, a book called The Emerging Democratic Majority argued that demographic changes would doom Republicans to perpetual defeat in national elections. We don't have to tell you that elections are still competitive, even if former President Trump couldn't win the popular vote. The problem is that politics is complex. Racial identity is complex. How the two will influence each other over the long term is impossible to predict. In the meantime, it's best we acknowledge the 2020 census for what it really showed us. How you ask questions on surveys matters a great deal, and the white population isn't declining nearly so rapidly as sensational headlines might lead you to believe. Returning to our other story, gerrymander is a swear word in American politics, with just 5% of Americans supporting the practice. But redistricting following the census results has it on everyone's minds again, with some prominent Democrats raising the alarm that Republican state legislatures might use it to skew the map in their favor. In the past few weeks, both Senator Elizabeth Warren and former Attorney General Eric Holder have delivered essentially the same simple message. Gerrymandering undermines democracy, and if it were done away with, then we would have a level playing field. But is that actually true? Two political scientists, Joe A. Chen and Jonathan Rodden, tried to get to the bottom of that. They focused on Florida in 2000 as their test case, a state notoriously separated by a 0.009% margin in presidential vote totals between the Democrats and Republicans. They developed a computer program that would randomly group precincts into equal population U.S. House districts. Given that Democrats and Republicans divided the state almost perfectly in vote totals, they wanted a map to reflect that. Instead, the computer simulation created districts that led to Republicans winning, on average, 61% of the seats. Even the map most favorable to Democrats still led to Republicans winning 56% of the seats. So what went wrong? In short, geography. Democrats tend to live in cities near other Democrats, and Republicans tend to live in suburban and rural communities that are more politically diverse. Where the average Democratic district is won in a landslide, Republican districts tend to be more competitive, even if they consistently lead to Republican representatives. In Florida, Gore won over 80% of the vote in 10 times the number of precincts that Bush did. And it's not just Florida either. Chen and Rodden replicated their results in other states, and found the advantage for Republicans was over 5% of legislative seats in about half the states where they ran simulations. Geography hurts Democrats, and nothing short of abandoning single-member districts is going to change that in the near term. Gerrymandering is a real and dangerous phenomenon. As one saying goes, rather than allowing voters to pick their representatives, it allows representatives to pick their voters. But redistricting reform is no silver bullet. As redistricting continues and debate about gerrymandering heats up, we should recognize that independent redistricting committees, while undeniably good, can't guarantee equitable outcomes. So can we solve gerrymandering? Absolutely. But we need to remember that renewing democracy is hard. There are no quick fixes or simple solutions. For those of us in this fight, we need to face facts about how complicated our challenges are before we can hope to solve them.